If you will take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 13 and on. A people in pain. Last week we talked about two kingdoms, and we talked about the power of God, the sovereignty of God in the nations, in the kingdoms. We looked at the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. As we continue on in the book of Isaiah, we just briefly, towards the end last Sunday, talked about our own decisions and the impact that our decisions have on our lives and the lives of those around us. I believe that one of the deepest pain that we experience is related, no pun intended, to our relatives, to relationships, isn't it? Isn't the deepest pain that we have, isn't that experienced within the closeness and the intimacy of family relationships? It can and should bring the deepest joy, but it doesn't always. The potential for pain is great. This morning I was in my Bible reading, I was reading Genesis, and it said that Isaac and Rebekah watched their son Esau make choices that were contrary to the way in which he had been raised. And it's just said, it grieved them deeply. A rebellious child, for parents to watch children make decisions that the parents know will bring pain and will bring destruction. And the pain that's related to that. Marriage struggles, husbands and wives struggling to know how to live together, struggling in the pain. And if that doesn't work, the separation and the divorce and the pain that that brings. The pain of being rejected. The pain of a love lost. These types of pain, this type of pain is incredibly deep pain. Do you know that throughout the scriptures, the Lord uses each of these illustrations of children, of marriages, of divorce in His trying to reflect His heart to His people. To Israel, in Jeremiah 3:8, He said that the Lord would write them a certificate of divorce because of their faithlessness and their adulteries. And then in Hosea, He says, I will woo her. I will date her. I will court her. I will do everything I can to win her back. You know, we see our sovereign Lord recognizing our pain, the pain that we have brought on ourselves. And we're going to see that so clearly in these chapters. That He sees our pain, and it isn't a pain that He brought on us. It's a pain that we brought on ourselves by our own choices, by our own lifestyles. And His heart aches for us. Let's look at the sovereignty of our Lord. As we look at the sovereignty of our Lord, and you'll be paging back and forth in these chapters a little bit, just looking at some of the verses. In chapter 14, verse 24, it says, "The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. As I have purposed, so it will stand." Wow. There are no questions. You will notice, and I guess because I had prepared this, I noticed so many of those words in the songs we were singing today. Name above all names. You know, the Lord can use those words, all, always, all-encompassing. And over again, those words and those songs remind us of a God who is sovereign. He said, "I have planned, it's going to be that way. I have purposed, it will stand." A little bit further down, "This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him?" His hand is stretched out, who can turn it back? Sovereignty. Sovereignty. The sovereignty of God gives him the absolute right to do whatever he pleases. That's sovereignty. It's the absolute right to do whatever he pleases. You think of Hitler. You think of other world rulers who wanted absolute power and who had a lot of power, and what did they do? They wreaked destruction and havoc on innocent people. And you say, I do not want to give myself to a God who can do and has the right to do whatever he pleases. Mark Buchanan says, your God is not safe. Your God isn't safe. He is great. He is powerful. He doesn't need us. If we left it there, we would be missing something. Yes, God is sovereign. In the NIV Bible, that word, the sovereign Lord, is used nearly 300 times, 297 times. Sovereign Lord. 31 times, and only 31 times. In the scriptures, we find people saying, "O sovereign Lord," or "Ah, sovereign Lord." In other words, us acknowledging his sovereignty. Us, whether we acknowledge his sovereignty or not, does not change who God is. To Nebuchadnezzar, whose arrogance and pride, he looked over all of Babylon and he looked at what he had done and he said, Nobody is more powerful than I am. Look what I have done. In that instant, the word of the Lord came to him, and the Lord says, "You will be driven away from people. You will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. You will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 years will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Anyone he wishes. Anything he pleases." we have to keep going. Because this sovereign God, he says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any gods God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. Isn't that wonderful? Here we have the all-sovereign God who can do what he pleases, do what he wishes. There's not a nation that can do anything against him, and he acts on your behalf. He loves you. And he wants your good. He wants to help you. Oh, I wish we could stop there, but we have to go to that next verse, and it says, but. Why do we have to have these buts? But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who's unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, like the wind. Our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away. Why? Because of our sins. Rebellion brings pain. Here's the all-sovereign God who can do whatever he wishes, and he's given to you and to me the incredible power to choose him or not to choose him. Only to mankind has he given that type of a rational ability that we can choose him or not choose him. And we have 66 books of the Bible, and I don't know how many pages there would be, depending how large your print is. My pages are getting a few more in my Bible. And I have a nice, heavy Bible, you know. See? God, in every page of his book, shows us, warns us, that he, even though he has given us this power, to choose, we should choose, be careful how we choose. We said last Sunday, God will not be mocked. God will not be toyed with. Rebellion brings pain. We see the arrogance of nations, and we see the Lord's response in punishing them. But you know, we see, first of all, let's look at the nations. We see that the decisions of nations affect the people of the nation. People make up countries, make up nations. If not, you would have an empty land with nothing, no cities, nothing. It's people. And nations, the decisions that nations make affect the people. And the arrogance and the rebellion against the Lord filters down to the people. It does for us in Canada. It does for every country in the world. Pray for our politicians. Pray for godly men and women to become involved, because it affects our people. We are not immune to the arrogance and the sin of our nation. But it keeps coming down, and it depends if you want to start with a nation or if you want to start in the home. But each one, as we get closer and closer to home, we realize that the choices and the decisions we make, they affect someone else. Our sin, our rebellion, our choosing wrong always affects someone else. We may say, well, it's just my own doing. And this will have no impact on someone else. And it does. It does. That's where the pain comes from. The sin of a nation has consequences, but it ripples all the way down to us as individuals. Let's go back to chapter 13. Look at the pain. Look at the pain of the decisions that were made in Isaiah's day. Notice some of the words. Words like in verse 6, wail. Wail. That's not a quiet sobbing. Wailing is in loud, uncontrollable grief and anguish. For the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Most High. Verse 9. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day, wrath, fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. Verse 14 to 16, like a hunted gazelle, like sheep without a shepherd, each will return to his own people. They will flee to their native land. Whoever is captured will be thrust through. All who are caught will fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be looted. Their wives will be ravished. Chapter 15. Ar and Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Kir and Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Dibon goes up to its temple, to its high places to weep. Moab wails. Their heads are shaved. Every beard is cut off. In the streets they wear sackcloth, in the roofs and in the public squares. They all wail, prostrate with weeping. Do you see the anguish? Why? Why would God allow this to come on a nation? Because a nation rebelled. A nation had arrogance and pride and turned against God. And who makes up the nations? It's people. We could say, well, oh, that's Israel back there. And Israel lived in rebellion against the Lord. But it's there for every person. Disobedience, rebellion against God. Chapter 19, brother fighting brother. They lose heart. Hope is lost. People are dejected. They're sick at heart. This is the harvest. Where we finished last Sunday, where it says, God is not mocked. We will reap that which we sow. And we say, is God not a God of love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is God not the God of compassion, who does not get angry and who forgives rebellion and sin? Yes, he is. God does not remove from us our power to choose. And with that power to choose, neither will he remove from us the harvest of the decisions we make. You can hide your sin for many, many years, but it's going to reap a harvest. When we walk in deliberate rebellion against the Lord, it will come. But how is God in this? As Isaac and Rebekah, it grieved them greatly to see Esau make wrong choices. We see God as a father grieving for his creation, who's making choices that are anti-family, the family of God. Making choices that will bring them punishment, a punishment that they deserve, a punishment that they are receiving from him. But I want you to see, because we're going to look at some of these verses, like in chapter 15, verse 5, just the first part there. Chapter 19, I should move ahead, that's where it is. Chapter 16, verse 11. In the middle of God listing these punishments and the wailing and the destruction, you find little phrases. My heart cries out over Moab. Chapter 16, verse 9. So I weep. Verse 11, my heart laments. You will find, if we were to go right through the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, these minor prophets, God's heart. God doesn't like what's happening. This isn't his desire. But he's not going to make you his slave. He's not going to force you to choose to live according to his word. But he will draw you. The compassion of God is seen there. He desires to do that. He wants to. He says, if you remain hostile toward me and refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your affliction seven times over as your sins deserve. We're getting what we deserve. When? If you remain hostile, if you refuse to listen, that's when God gives you what you deserve. Mercy is God building a dam, keeping from us the things that we deserve. That's mercy. Grace is the dam, and it's overflowing with God's goodness and God's riches. But mercy is God keeping from us that which we deserve, the justice that should be ours. He keeps that from us, but not if we refuse to listen or remain hostile. To Jeremiah, he says, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. With God, there is forgiveness and there is restoration. In the midst of all of the pain and the punishment, God does it for the reason that he wants you to repent, to turn to him, so that you can serve him the way you were created to serve him. That's his heart. That's his desire. And we see that in Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And then it says, he will not always accuse, which means that he has, right? Nor will he harbor his anger forever. That means God has been angry. At what? At our sins, at our rebellious living. And then it's so neat. It says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Well, if we back up in Leviticus, it says, as your sins deserve. But I want you to notice the difference, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to those who fear him. Your heart is what makes all the difference. As long as your heart is closed and you are running away from God, you are going to get what you deserve. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. The moment you turn, repenting means making a U-turn. The moment that you turn and turn back to God, that moment He stands there compassionate, loving, slow to anger, gracious. He's not going to treat you according to what you deserved. Rather, as far as the east is from the west, so far He will take your sins from you. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on whom? Those who fear Him. So what now? The Lord our Lord God is sovereign. He has the right and the ability and the power to do whatever He pleases, to do what He wishes. He wants to be your Savior, but He wants to be more than your Savior. He wants to be and needs to be Lord of your life. God wants to be and needs to be sovereign in your life, that He can do in your life whatever He pleases and whatever He wishes. And if you begin to throw open the floodgates of your life and say, God, all sovereign God, I will make you Lord of my life, He begins to bring restoration. There are consequences from our sin. All of us have them. We have all either been the recipient of a victim of other people's sins that have hurt us and scarred us for life, that we can never get rid of. And God says, I want to restore you so that you can serve me as I created you to serve me. God knows what our rebellion and our sin will cost us. That's why He's repeated it over and over again in scriptures. That's why the warnings are there. And He will not do anything about our pain, even though His own heart is breaking, as long as we don't let Him. Do you hear that? This destruction that we read about, and the pain in these people, this was God Himself involved in it. He wanted the people to turn to Him. God will not do something about our pain as long as we are rebelling, even though His own heart is breaking with our pain. Because He's given you the free choice. And He wants you to choose Him. The moment we do that, when we repent and turn to Him, we find Him waiting. We find our compassionate Father. We find the one who will not treat us according to our sins, but who will restore us so we may serve Him. Let's pray. Ah, sovereign Lord, You do whatever You please, whatever You wish. You are not safe. You are not my buddy. You're not someone I can hang out with. Because You are too great and awesome. And yet in that, You're a compassionate Father. who loves his children, who feels the pain they are feeling and desires so much that they would come to the Father. I don't understand all of it, but I know, Lord, that in all of your sovereignty, and in a God who is great that I cannot, if I were to see you today and my human eye were to see you, I would die. I would fall down dead. Because in my human flesh, I cannot see you. That's how great you are. And yet through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, you have opened the way that I can come boldly into your throne room, and the day will come when I will be changed and I will be able to be in your presence. All believers. Lord, since you act on our behalf and you want to help us and you want what's best for us and you have the power and the sovereignty to do that, may there be not a person here today who's not going to yield to your lordship in their lives. Amen.